Forgiveness of sin. It's one of the most important things to each and every one of us. Because without it, no one could go to heaven. None of us would ever be able to make it there. And yet, it's bound up in some of the most confusing doctrines of various religious groups of possibly any of the Bible doctrines. Everyone has their own idea of how sin is forgiven. We talked a little bit in class this morning about it, just briefly. Some people think that, well, it's all God's grace, you don't have to do anything. Some people think, well, if I say enough prayers or say enough confessions, I can have all my sins forgiven. Some people think if I do enough good works, it'll outweigh the bad works of it. There's so many different ideas out there about how we can have our sins forgiven. But today we want to look at one of the things that the Bible says about forgiveness of our sin that is far too often overlooked by many in the religious world and even in the church. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, Jesus teaches His disciples how to pray. And He says, "In this manner therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And then He gives this explanation in verses 14 and 15. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now we want to understand, this is not the only thing the Bible says about how to have forgiveness of sin. But it's one thing that's often overlooked. Some people might take this and say, "Well, then it doesn't matter what sins I commit or what I do, as long as I forgive other people, God will forgive me." That's not the idea that Jesus is getting across. There's plenty of other teaching in the New Testament that talks to us about confession of our sin, repentance of our sin, prayer to God. It talks about baptism to wash away sins for someone who's not a Christian, becoming one, and those things. We're not dealing with those today. We're not even going to talk about all of those things. But this idea that if you want your sins to be forgiven, you have to be willing to forgive the others who sin against you. A number of scriptures present this same principle. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 tells us that we should forgive before praying in order for our prayers to be heard by God. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." So think about this for just a moment. If someone has sinned against me, whatever they might have done, they gossiped about me, they lied to me, they even physically struck me or hurt me in some way, they stole from me, whatever they've done to me, when I go to God in prayer, and in that prayer I'm going to ask Him to forgive me of the things that I've done against Him, Mark here records Jesus saying, before you go to God and ask Him to forgive you, you better forgive them. If you're still holding that grudge in your heart when you go to God to pray for Him to forgive you of your sins, He's not going to listen. He's not going to forgive your sins because you were unwilling to forgive another. In Luke chapter 6, verses 36 through 38, we're told that the same measure that will be used with us that we use for others. Jesus there says, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You see, if we have the attitude toward others that no matter what you do, I will never forgive you, or if we have that attitude toward them, you've got to jump through all of these different hoops and do all these different things, and you've got to stay right for a year with me before I'll ever believe that you're not that you really repented of that, or we've got all these different things that somebody else has to do before we'll forgive them, we better beware. How would we feel if God applied those same standards to our forgiveness that we try to apply to other people before we were willing to forgive them? And yet that's exactly what Jesus says here. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. But the same measure that you use, it's going to be measured to you. If I tell somebody else, I'll never forgive you, then God says, He'll never forgive me. As long as I have that attitude and use that standard with someone else, He will allow that to be the standard that's used with me. That in and of itself ought to make us consider how we treat others and what expectations we have of them as far as forgiveness goes. In Luke chapter 17 and verses 3 through 4, Jesus makes it clear that if somebody repents, we forgive them. Even if he just says, I repent. He says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now we need to think about this one for a little bit, because we don't live by this many times. Notice the first thing he says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. How many times has someone sinned against us and we expect that person to be a mind reader and know that we've taken offense and that we've considered that to be a sin against us? Now sometimes when people sin against us, they know they're sinning against us. But sometimes people do things and say things and they don't realize that it's a sin. They don't know what they've done. And they need it to be pointed out to them that, hey, you said this to me or you did this to me, and that's wrong. Now, we don't like to do that. We talked last week about admonishing. And we don't like conflict a lot of times. But Jesus says, if you want to have peace in your relationships, if you want to have forgiveness from God, you're going to have to face sometimes some conflict and some confrontation. And it's not pleasant and it's not fun, and I know I don't like it either. But he says, you go to that brother and rebuke that brother. And then he says, if he repents, you forgive him. In fact, he says, if he sins against you 7 times in one day, that's a lot. I can't remember anybody that ever sinned against me 7 times in one day. 7 times in a week is a lot, but 7 times in one day, he says. Even if it does that many times, but he comes to you and says, I repent. Notice, he just comes and says, I repent. You forgive him. Now what, after about the third or fourth time, and time number 5, he sins against me and he comes back to me and he says, I repent. What's my attitude most of the time? Well, I don't think you're really repenting. You undid it 4 times. Why should I believe you this time? That's a lot of times the attitude that people have, isn't it? But see, Jesus says, it's not our job to judge the sincerity of his repentance. If he comes to us and says, I repent, we're to take him at his word and forgive him. God will judge the sincerity. Now, we have to understand, if my brother sins against me and comes and says, I repent, and he's not sincere, I forgive him. That does not mean necessarily that God forgives him. God knows far more about the circumstance than I do. On the other hand, if my brother sins against me and comes to me and says, I repent, and I refuse to forgive him, that doesn't mean God won't forgive him. You see, God knows the hearts and the thoughts of each one of us. He knows whether the person who says, I repent, is sincere and really repenting or not. He also knows if I'm refusing to forgive that person who's come to me saying they repent. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. And we need to beware, because we sometimes put ourselves up as the judge of determining whether that person's really repented or not. We say, well, we'll see. If you don't do it again, then I'll forgive you. But if you do it again, I'll know you weren't sincere this time, and then I'm not going to forgive you. We don't get the right to put conditions like that. Jesus said, if he comes to you and says, I repent, you forgive him. End of the story. And you don't bring it up again 10 times the next month either. It's over. It's done. Well, how often should I forgive? I mean, sometimes we tend to keep a running tally, and we take a sin, we stuff it in the bag. We take another sin, stuff it in the bag. And when the bag gets full, we say, okay, nope, you're cut off. No more forgiveness for you. We've reached our limit. You know, kind of like a bank account. And you've withdrawn so much that, hey, there's nothing left. You can't get any more money out. That's it. And sometimes we treat others that way. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21 and following, Peter comes to him and says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I should forgive him? Up to 7 times? Now, of course, we've already read Luke. Jesus said 7 times a day. But Peter, this is a different occasion, before probably the situation in Luke 17 was recorded. But Peter says, what, 7 times? That's a lot of times. 7 times? I'd forgive him that many times. And 7 in Judeo-numerology was the perfect number. There are 7 days that God created the world, you know, in that 7-day period. That week is 7 days, and the 7th day is the Sabbath day, and it's holy and all that. So 7 was like the perfect number. It's a special number. So he says 7 times. And the Lord answers him, I say to you, not 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And so we start doing math. 7 times 7. Oh, that's 490. Okay, 490 times. But that 491st time, you're on your own. I'm not going to forgive you. And we miss the point that Jesus is trying to get across. What Jesus is trying to get across is this idea of human limiting of how many times someone would forgive you, you would forgive someone, is not right. I wonder if we started counting how many times we have sinned against God and how many times we've asked Him to forgive us. How many times? What would that add up to? I have a feeling that for any but the very youngest of Christians, it would be far more than 490, wouldn't it? I mean, just imagine if you commit one sin a day. That'd be 365 in just 1 year. You say, well, I don't sin that much. Well, what if you did just one a week? That's still 50 a year. Why, in 8 years, you'd hit 400. By year 10, you've busted through that 490. And so, after 10 years, God's not going to forgive you anymore because you've gone past the 490? Oh, we certainly hope that's not the case, don't we? We keep coming to God time and again asking Him to forgive us. And yet, when others sin against us, we keep this tally. You've sinned against me too much. I don't forgive you anymore. Now, we do have to understand the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Just because I forgive somebody for stealing $15 from me doesn't mean I lay a $20 bill on the table when they're at my house to visit. I know better than that because I know the history that, you know, this person is tempted by this. This is a struggle for them. I'm not going to put a temptation or stumbling block in their way to cause them to sin. That would be wrong of me. So, you know, there are things like that that we have to understand. We have to understand Jesus even in His teaching about marriage and the adultery or fornication and the ability for a spouse to divorce another. Well, they should have forgave them. Well, maybe they did forgive that person for cheating on them. But that doesn't mean they have to stay married to them. Jesus allowed that. He allowed them to dissolve that marriage. He allowed divorce. they can still forgive that person for what they did, but still not want to remain married to them. And so sometimes we equate forgiveness and reconciliation and think, well, if I forgive somebody, then I have to go back to the same terms that we had before. And that's not always the case. Now, with God, that is the case. God, when He forgives, He wipes it out as though it never happened. And that's an amazing thing about God. But He does not demand that to be the case for us. While He does demand that we forgive, He does not demand that we go back to the very same relationship in every case. That's certainly not the case. And we see that in the case of the marriage where someone has committed adultery. That he does not demand that they stay in that marriage after that person has done that, even if they forgive that person for what they've done. And Jesus then tells the story, the parable, of the man who owed so much that he could never repay it. And the king forgave him, or the master forgave him. But that same servant, after being forgiven such a huge sum, went out and found someone who owed him a little penance, a little pittance. You know, he owed the amount of our national debt, you know. He owed trillions of dollars. And he goes out and finds somebody that owes him $10 and strangles him around the neck and throws him in prison because he won't pay him the $10. And when the king hears about it, he calls that man back and he said, you know, I forgave you. And then you went out and treated your fellow servant that way. Guess what? You're unforgiven. And he delivered him to the torturers until he could pay every last bit. And he, of course, never could. It was, and Jesus says that's the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. God is willing to forgive us, but if we then turn around and mistreat one another and won't forgive each other for these little petty things when God has forgiven us for our evil that we've done against Him, He will unforgive. He can. He can wipe that deal out because the deal is contingent on the fact that we forgive others. So if we don't forgive others, we've broken the contract. So, well, God forgave, He can't take it back. He can if we break the conditions. You know, if you have a lease and you violate some of the terms of that lease, the person you have the lease with can cancel it, can't they? You're renting an apartment, and in that apartment one of the rules is you can't have so-and-so stay there, or you can't do certain things in that apartment, or you can't sublease it out to somebody else, and you do those things, then kick you out, kick you right out of that apartment because you've broken the contract. That kind of goes back to the thing we were talking about with marriage. Part of the marriage contract is fidelity, and when that partner breaks that fidelity, they voided the contract, and the other person is free to get out of that contract then. It's the same kind of thing here. God says, I will forgive you, but here are the conditions. The first condition, of course, is that we believe in Him. A second condition is that we believe in Jesus Christ, His Son. A third is that we repent. Another is that we are baptized to wash our sins away. Then as Christians, He says, if you sin, I'll forgive you. If you'll confess your sins to me, if you'll pray to me, if you'll ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive you. If you'll forgive others, I'll forgive you. In fact, Jesus ends that after talking about how that king was angry and delivered that man to the torturers. He says in verse 35 of Matthew chapter 18, so my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if you from your heart do not forgive your brother his trespasses. You see, we can't just say, I forgive you, and then grumble and gripe and talk about them behind their back and bring it back up 6 months later. Oh, I remember when so-and-so did this to me, and hold a grudge. And He says, you've got to forgive from your heart. And again, I can't judge your heart. I don't know. But God does. And that's why God's the one who decides whether we are forgiven or not. Because He knows. I know you're thinking, wow, we spent a lot of time on the introduction. That's because the rest of it's really fairly short. You see, these scriptures that we've just looked at, and probably could have found some others that talked about these concepts as well, but these that we've looked at, these scriptures, first of all, assume that we will have people who sin against us. Now, there are some people who think, well, it's not possible to sin against another person. Every sin is only against God. No, you can sin against your fellow human beings. And your fellow human beings can sin against you. And they will. And they have. And so it assumes that. Matthew 18:7, Jesus said, "Woe to the world because of offenses, but offenses must come." And it's going to happen. There are going to be sins. Luke 17:1, he says, "It is impossible that no offense should come." There will be people who will sin against you. And see, secondly, though, these passages also assume that it is a difficult thing for us to forgive others. And it is, isn't it? If we're honest about it. And it's harder for us to forgive some people than it is others, isn't it? There are some people that we can forgive, and it's easy to forgive them. And there are other people that it's just really hard to forgive that person. And yet Jesus calls on us to do that. You know, you hear people say things like, "I don't get mad, I get even." That's not a forgiving attitude. You hear people say, "Well, I'll never talk to them again." That's not forgiveness. You see, doing an injury to someone else because they did to you puts you even below your enemy. Revenge, doing the same thing to them that they did to you, only puts you even with them. If we really want to get above our enemies, we have to do it by forgiving them. I had the quote in there, Oscar Wilde, a little comedic look at things. He said, "Always forgive your enemies. Nothing disturbs them as much. Nothing angers them as much. Nothing, you know, in fact, the Bible talks about by doing good to your enemies, you heat coals of fire on their head." Now, that's not the motivation to do it. You know, I'll get back at them. I'll forgive them. No, that's not the... But it does. It's the way to get higher than them and closer to God. God is a forgiving God. And to be like Him, we need to forgive as well. And then the third thing that all of these scriptures indicate and assume is that we have a desire to receive forgiveness from God ourselves. Don't we? Don't we want God to forgive us when we come to Him? What would we do? Could you imagine? And I know God doesn't speak to us as He did back in the first century and in the Old Testament times. But can you imagine if we came to God in prayer one night and said, "And Lord, I know I sinned against You today. Please forgive me." And He said, "I'm sorry, but yesterday You reached Your limit. I can't forgive You anymore." Can you imagine? What would we do? How would we feel? And yet, sometimes we have that attitude toward others, or some other kind of attitude. We need to beware. Romans 4:7, quoting the psalmist, says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered." We want our sins to be covered by God. And He tells us, and Jesus tells us, that if we want that forgiveness, if we want our sins to be covered, we're going to have to forgive the sins of others against us. Now, it's true. We understand, the Pharisees even understood, who can forgive sins but God? Well, we understand it. Only God ultimately can forgive sin. And sometimes we get caught up in that and we say, "Well, but this person hasn't repented of their sin, and I can't forgive them." God will take care of that. If they haven't repented, He'll take care of that. But for us to harbor ill feelings and to hold a grudge in our heart is only going to do damage to us, not to them. God will deal with those who say, "I repent," but don't mean it, or those who refuse to repent. But Jesus, as He hung on the cross, gave us the example. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Just because He said that didn't mean the Father forgave them. In fact, many that were there on that day, the Father never forgave, and they will suffer. But there were some there that day who later heard Peter's sermon on Pentecost, and they responded, and God forgave them. God's in the business of actually doing the forgiveness for eternity's sake. But it's our responsibility to make sure that we're forgiven by forgiving those who sin against us, regardless of their condition with God. Obviously, someone who's not a Christian, as long as they're not a Christian, they can't be forgiven by God for any of their sins. So someone who's not a Christian sins against me, and I forgive them. Jesus said, "Pray for your enemies and forgive them." If I forgive someone who's not a Christian, that doesn't mean that that sin is forgiven in God's eyes. And sometimes we get that confused, and I can't really forgive their sin because they haven't met God's conditions for forgiveness. That's not my job. That's God's job. He'll take care of that. My job is to forgive them on my part. I can't forgive them on God's part. God's the only one that can do that. 2 Corinthians 2:6-8 says, "The punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him." So Paul there calls on them, you want forgiveness from God, you would want forgiveness from others. If you've done someone wrong, wouldn't you want them to forgive you? Yes, we sure do. And so we should forgive them as well. You got people in your life who have sinned against you and hurt you? I'm sure that you have. Are you having difficulty forgiving those people? Are there some of those people whom you haven't forgiven? Do you want forgiveness of your sins? Do you want others to forgive you when you sin against them? Do you want God to forgive you when you sin against Him? If so, Jesus makes it very clear that we must forgive others from the heart if we want to receive forgiveness. If you want to receive forgiveness from God today, He is open-armed. It was His idea to forgive us. It wasn't our idea. We didn't come up with the plan. He did. Come to Him today. If you're not a Christian, you can become one. You can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You can repent of your sins, and you can be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away after confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. If you are a Christian and you fall into sin, or perhaps you're struggling with this very issue of forgiving others, you may need strength and encouragement from others to reach for that goal, being like your Heavenly Father and being willing to forgive. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation this morning for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing.